for many people, mourning in Edinburgh doesn't exist, but kindly, Lynn Gardner from The Guardian and Mark Fisher from The Herald have agreed to join me, Philip Fisher from British Theatre Guide, to discuss the very best and possibly some of the less good from the Edinburgh Festival after a couple of weeks of seeing shows. I think I can safely say that each of us has seen at least 50 shows, so we have some feel for what's going on, and I suspect that Lynn is way, way in excess of that. Well, welcome to you both.
Hello.
Right, today we're going to discuss four shows in some detail, and then we'll pick out our favourites at the end. First of all, we'll talk about Strawberries in January by Evelyne de la Chenelière in a new version by Rona Munro. Then Realism, which was in the International Festival, which is the new play by Anthony Nielsen. Black Watch, which might be regarded as the sensation of Edinburgh in 2006 by Gregory Burke. And Fine and Noble Gases by American playwright Adam Rapp. Lynn, would you like to give us your thoughts on Strawberries in January?
Yes, essentially Strawberries in January is a romantic comedy about four young people living in Montreal who are all looking for love. The kind of twist in the tale is the fact that one of the central characters, Francois, is writing a screenplay, and the play itself, which is kind of quite a light and frothy confection, actually uses the conventions of films, of rewinds, of close-ups, to give you different views on the action and what is going on. And essentially this is a deeply charming and engaging show about writing your own narrative of your own life and creating your own happy endings. And one of the reasons that I like it so much is that I think that it plays very much not just with the conventions of movies, but also with the conventions of theatre itself.
Mark, did you find it a deeply endearing and charming show? I think I may have got the words the wrong way around, but...
I wish I did, but it didn't really do it for me. I don't have any strong opinions or feelings against it. I have found it a sort of fairly mediocre experience, and I think one of the reasons... there's two possible reasons for that. One is that, as Lynn says, it is a sort of light souffle of a play and doesn't have any pretensions to be anything greater than that. It is a rom-com, and if you're in the mood for a rom-com, I'm sure that's fine. Lynn, I know, would also argue that underneath the surface of that there's something more interesting and gritty going on, but to my mind I'm aware of those things that are going underneath but they don't seem to me to be of particular interest beyond just that sort of passing interest. I think one possibility is that from a directorial point of view, I'm not sure how clearly defined and delineated the different elements of the jump cuts and the passages back and forwards in time are made, and so the audience has to work reasonably hard to try and pick out where we are at any one time. And I don't know if the effort is repaid by that you put in. And I did hear that the production that was first done in Montreal when the show was first done in French. What involved quite clear signalling. I think the floor actually changed colour or something. There was an underlit floor that changed colour for the different temporal scenes, and that might well have made a difference. Again, I didn't see that production either, but that might well have made a difference to the clarity of the narrative. It wasn't really clarity that bothered me. It was just it was a pleasant enough experience. Very well translated, I should say, by Rona Munro, and some strong performances, including from Gabrielle Quigley.
Right, yes, Rona Munro converted Montreal into Scotland, which was quite interesting, possibly less so for you than for we English. I'm with Lynn, I enjoyed the show very much too, and felt perhaps the attraction was that while it was a romantic comedy, I felt, as with watching François Truffaut movies, and maybe the François isn't completely a giveaway, there was, lots of romance, but there's also something far more subtle, and the kind of auteur stepping back from what was going on. But I agree with you, a little bit of maybe coloration or something to distinguish between the different elements might have been more helpful. So that one's probably a 2-1 in favour. Next up is Realism. This is from the National Theatre of Scotland, who are making a tremendous impact on the Edinburgh Festival this year. This is in the International Festival by Anthony Nielsen, who has a reputation as a kind of shockmeister. this play is unusual, and it takes a little bit of time to tune in, because the setting is inside the mind of the main protagonist, and he is, well, rather unusually, he's kind of a flabby man in early middle age, not the normal glamorous star that one expects to see, and one gets right into his whole night of dreams. It's based in a single night, and you get the feeling that you know so much about this man by the end of the event, because you're sitting there, you see his sexual fantasies, you see what he feels about his cat, his parents, his ex-wives and lovers. It grew on me right the way through, and I found it a very moving event by the end. And the ending, which I'm not going to give away, but one of you may wish to, is something to me that's unique in theatre, and therefore I think this one is well worth visiting. Enjoyed it very much, and I'm really hoping that it manages to travel. Lynn, what were your thoughts?
Well, I think actually there's quite a connection here between Strawberries in January and realism, in that this both of them are kind of examples of plays or theatre which are actually playing with the idea of theatre itself in some ways, and the way that kind of connects with our real lives. I think it is really fantastically entertaining and ultimately rather moving and bleak examination of the kind of inner life as such. I mean, I didn't think it necessarily is taking place during the night. I think it's as much actually, it's during the day. I wondered whether there might actually be a snide little sideways look at Ian McEwan's incredibly dull novel Saturday, which uses a rather similar device of following one person through a single day. But, you know, this is about a man who really does nothing during the entire day, and yet actually what you see is his kind of inner emotional and fantasy life, in kind of full glorious technicolor, including every sort of un-PC thought that he has ever had. And I think that actually, again, you know, rather like Strawberries in January, it is about actually how important it is about kind of knowing ourselves in some way, is in fact knowing our unconscious.
And Mark, are you going to be a dissenting voice again?
No, I'm not. I'm a huge fan of it. The other play that you can see as a companion piece to it was the one that Antony Nielsen did 2 years ago, again in the International Festival, which was called The Wonderful World of Dissocia. That was an exploration of the experience, or an attempt to emulate the experience of the, particularly the manic side of somebody suffering from manic depression. It was a sort of Alice in Wonderland fantasy landscape with some nightmarish things, but also a lot of joyful things, and a lot of comedy, a lot of surrealism, a lot of music, and so on. What he's doing in this play is saying, well, you know, the world, the mental world of the sane, the supposedly sane, is just as colourful and just as extraordinary as perhaps as somebody who's considered insane, branded insane by the medical profession or whatever. So we do see this amazing world, which is actually going on in one form or another in all of our private lives, in those unconscious moments, those things that we repress, the whether it's the sexual fantasies, and some people have been, I mean, and you will find people who are quite strong dissenters against realism, because there are scenes of quite graphic and certainly explicit sexual uncomfortableness, which does put a lot of audiences on edge. If you accept that, and if you're open to the basic concept that we all have similar or equally embarrassing, whether they're racist or sexist or any other ism type thoughts that are going on in our heads all the time, then it is tremendous fun. And I think, and certainly by the end, there's a fantastic coup de theatre that you allude to, which again reflects back to a similar coup de theatre in The Wonderful World of Dissocia, which is that we get a, I will describe it, which is at the very closing moments are a very, very realistic version of the fantasy that we've just explored. So we see Stuart Macquarie in a kitchen, not doing anything, just sitting at his breakfast table, staring into space, and the idea is that all the fantasy that we've just seen has all been taken in its place. And I have to say, it's a tremendously visual and spectacular set, and by Miriam Buta. And the set is a sort of steep-raked, technically a living room and a kitchen and a bed, but sand is everywhere, and so the normal walls of the theatre are dispensed with, and it's a place for the imagination.
In this place for the imagination, perhaps I should explain the Malt Whiskey Society. The sound effects are not of people having single malts because it's 10 o'clock in the morning, but rather of coffee and things, so perhaps we need to apologise a little bit for that. Right, next up is really the amazing event, in that every critic that I've spoken to, and pretty much everyone I've spoken to going around Edinburgh who's managed to get a ticket and now it's impossible, has named Black Watch as being their pick of the festival, and it'll be interesting to see whether this grouping feels the same about it. Mark, you're the Scotsman, so why don't you tell us about this archetypally Scottish play?
It would be great to again to find a dissenting voice to it. A friend of mine, a critic from Dublin, went to see it last night, having read the vast amount of, you know, what is it, something like 8 5-star reviews already. There's been editorials, at least I think I've seen 2 editorial type pieces in The Guardian already from it, and you know, I said to her, there's no way that this play can possibly live up to the hype, but she came away delighted by it. I wonder whether it's, you know, can there be such a thing as a critic-proof play? I don't know, but certainly both from an audience point of view and from a critical point of view, it's a tremendously humane and human celebration of working class experience in the form of soldiers from the Black Watch Regiment who happen to have been fighting in Iraq on one level. On another level, it's a political analysis, not so much playing into the sort of liberal left peacenik agenda, but by reflecting on what these men's real experience of being a very, very militarily powerful force in Iraq, fighting the much, and bullying, as in their own expression, the much weaker Iraqi forces, and not really being sure why they're there. So all that politics is there, and the thing that I find is really striking about it is just the theatricality of it. It's performed in a big drill hall with the audience on 2 sides in a sort of traverse arrangement, and director John Tiffany just uses the space tremendously. Every scene, whether it's in a small Fife pub or out on the Iraqi desert, has tremendous flow and movement, and also tremendous choreography. A lot of dance sequences playing off against the more intimate scenes. Everything's good about it, really.
I'm inclined to agree. I'm at the moment staying in a flat which is, I should think, as the crow flies, about 60 yards from Edinburgh Castle, and at 10:45 each night my flat shakes, and there was an equivalent moment in Black Watch where there was an explosion and it got to me in exactly the same way, and I felt that I was shaking, and the shaking was for more than one reason, I think. It's an incredibly ambitious plan. I don't think that Gregory Burke is a monstrous, but they probably wish that he was, because it's got big themes, it's got a reasonably big cast, and it's a big setting with big ideas. Yeah, we're all raving about this show, and again, one hopes that it transfers and travels, because people should see it. It's also extremely visual, and maybe it's a piece that could be made into a film at some stage. It certainly marks an amazing development for Gregory Burke, whose Gagarin Way, I think, has got the only first of the first so far. And was a relatively small piece, very enclosed, very claustrophobic. His follow-up was also pretty small, and suddenly he's come up with a massive play that takes on major themes of war, of an army company with 300 years of history that is going to cease. It looks at politics. And Lynn, I'm really chucking you the hospital pass with perhaps not all that much left to say, but do please.
No, I mean, very little to say, except this isn't just the kind of hot ticket of the festival. I think this is, without doubt, the hot ticket of the year, and it's, you know, passionate, fierce, intelligent, and lyrical. And I think the thing that actually is important about it is that it does very firmly put centre stage the experience of really white working class males, which is not something that we really see explored in theatre very much, and actually is increasingly something that culture is ignored in or dissed in society generally. So a very good thing altogether.
Right, continuing on the theme of white males, quite possibly working class, you move on to perhaps the joker in the pack, which is Adam Rapp's Fine and Noble Gases. Adam Rapp is a New York-based playwright, and Fine and Noble Gases is an amazing piece, and it might well be that we can have a discussion about censorship in theatre and whether there's anything that goes on in Fine and Noble Gases that really should be censored. What's it about? It's about a group of men, rather like the young ones on television, who seem to be a popular theme in Edinburgh this year, or replicas of what they do. This is a group, a grungy pop group, lots of big beards, lots of fairly solid men, saying very little because they're drugged up to the eyeballs, and they're having a little bit of fun. They get visited by a friend. The weird goings-on include an unbelievably graphic scene where a man urinates for what feels like about 5 minutes directly in the view of the audience, which created whoops, hollers and gasps of shock and dismay, I think. But no one left the theatre the night that I was there, and I think we were all there on different nights, so we'll find out what everyone says. And then it finally dissolves into about a 5-minute rock concert at tremendous volume from a band that then say that they're playing at 2 o'clock somewhere the next morning. So this is just completely different theatre from anything that we've discussed. I'm sure that it will split people, and there will be people who are very strongly against it, others who are greatly in favour. Mark, what do you think?
Well, I think if you were going to be against it, you could say, well, all this is just one big extended sketch. The relatively little happens, and it's just a sort of observational thing, which you have, like you say, you've seen it in The Young Ones. You've seen the idea of the hippie stoner is not a completely novel idea. But I think it struck me just as two things, a very fringy sort of experience. It seems to be fringe in the best sense. It's just unusual, and you can't really imagine it being anywhere else apart from...
And it's playing at the Bongo Club, which is not quite the Travis or Pleasance or wherever.
And the Bongo Club also attracts a very young audience, so it's a very again, that feels fringy about it. And the other thing about it being the I forgot what the other thing was about. It was a fantastic other thing. it just sort of has a presence that that is really quite mesmerising. It sets its pace quite. It's quite slow, not very much happens. These guys are just taking a lot of pills and staring at each other or urinating for 5 minutes or whatever, and a little bit of a plot develops, and then it finishes with this extraordinary and rather good sort of prog rock song that the musicians play. And it just feels like something I haven't ever seen before. You maybe never see it again. It might be a dead end, but it's quite an interesting dead end.
Lynn, what did you think of the show, and what did you think of the band, which I think, as far as I could tell, seemed to star Adam Rapp playing for himself on guitar?
Well, actually, much to my surprise, I found myself really rather liking this very much. It is absolutely true that not a lot happens, and these men have a kind of most astonishing hairiness that I have ever witnessed on stage. As to the pissing, well, you know, actually, of course, it's not really shocking. It's only shocking in the sense that actually what these people are doing metaphorically, of course, is pissing on themselves. If you find that... shocking, then it may not be for you. But actually, you know, this seems to me that the whole thing is really a kind of metaphor for the lost energy and industry that once made America, and which has kind of really turned now into a sort of drug induced coma with kind of psychotic overtones. And I think that actually there is a lot more going on here than in a play that actually in which it appears almost nothing is going on, not least the kind of entry of the neighbour from downstairs, who is a kind of rather, Pinteresque figure who kind of represents, you know, everything about America, which is kind of anxious, believes in conspiracy theories, paranoia, and may go out on missions that do enormous harm. So actually, yeah, I think it's a good play.
I'm really disappointed. I was hoping that this would be the one where we got loads of controversy. And in fact, we have a fourth silent guest here, who is Imogen, who's doing a kind of work experience shadowing Lynn. And she's just given it the thumbs up as well. So I can't find anyone who's not liking this show. And I imagine if I went around Edinburgh, I'd find an awful lot of people who don't like this show. Right, let's move on. I just think it would be helpful to get very, very quick opinions on a couple of shows that each of you have liked. And then we will do a sort of thumbs up, thumbs down to see whether these are shows that we're all in favour of or against. Mark, do you want to start?
Yeah, I can't remember a festival that was so serious in intent. Everything you see seems to be about either about Iraq or about, you know, war somewhere. I saw a play yesterday at the Travis School about genocide. You know, you even if you try to find something, I mean, Strawberries in January really is as lightweight as it gets, and it seems to be, you know, an anomaly really, because so much stuff. Or the other subject that is, as well as Iraq, it's the other side of the coin, is the study of America and America's role, which sort of you could say comes into Fine and Noble Gases as well. So plays that are standing out of a serious theme. My name is Rachel Corrie is here from the Royal Court. There's a few shows about Iraq. A particularly good one is What I Heard About Iraq, which is a verbatim theatre recreation of Donald Rumsfeld and President Bush and President, I was going to say President Blair then, that was quite a slip. and their comments long before the war and in the war itself, making quite strong political statements. From the American point of view, there's, I think, a very interesting, theatrically interesting show by a young group of New Yorkers called Team, which a show called Particularly in the Heartland, which is at the Travis, full of vigorous, energetic theatre. It doesn't quite come to the point that it looks as though it's about to make, but it's an attempt to analyse what it is. What is at the heart of America's cultural psyche, and it makes references to the Wizard of Oz and 9/11 and this idea of the rapture, the evangelical idea of people going up to meet their maker in a very exuberant sort of way.
Okay, let's do very quick votes then. So Rachel Corrie, thumbs up or down?
I only saw it in London.
Right, go on.
Yes, thumbs up.
Okay, we've got three in favour and one doesn't know about that one. The next one that you picked was What I Heard About Iraq, I think.
Yes.
Definitely thumbs
yes.
up.
Yeah, that's four thumbs up. Oh, we're not getting any dissent here. This is very sad. and particularly in the Heartland.
I've cut the kind of a thumb-facing kind of horizontally, really, on that. Yes.
Okay, I'm against that. So that one is absolutely split down the middle, which is going the right way, but we still haven't got the true dissent. Lynn, what about your two or three favourite shows?
Well, things that I'd probably very much recommend, top of the list of that, not quite a Black Watch experience, but certainly very close, is a show down at Aurora Nova at St Stephen's, which is called Sklavi, Song of the Emigrant, and it's a dance theatre piece of astonishing kind of brutality, but also quite considerable tenderness as well, which explores the agony of loss that comes with being an exile and the need to belong. And it's full of kind of polyphonic singing, absolutely extraordinary movement, it's a real, a kind of emotional kind of kick in the guts. So I think that's a great little show. Also down at Aurora and over at St Stephen's, there's a show called Hysteria. Hysteria is a show from a relatively new young British company. it has a kind of lightness of touch while exploring the kind of anxieties, the suppressed kind of anxieties from which we all suffer. I think that in many ways, again, you could see it as a companion piece to realism, but in fact probably the much lighter side of the coin. But I think it's very, very neatly done, and it's very funny.
How about radio? I think that was one of your favourite.
Radio,
lot.
I think, is another really great show, actually. It's done by a group from Edinburgh University, who last year had a very minor hit with Enola. And it's from a young playwright called Al Smith, who, in fact, currently in London at Soho Theatre, also has a show on as part of the National Youth Theatre season. It's a monologue that really takes one through American kind of space travel and Vietnam from the late 40s through to the early 70s, and it's a immensely moving meditation on moving away from the centre.
Okay, let's do some quick voting on those. So, Scolavi? Yeah, this one's unfair because I'm heading to Auranova immediately after this interview to see those two shows, so I can't score, but we've got two pluses on that. Hysteria?
I didn't see Hysteria.
Okay, Hysteria, I'm sure I'm going to enjoy. And Radio, I certainly enjoyed very much. Yep, so we've got three pluses on that. So what a great group we are. Right, now, very quickly, I'll come up with maybe three shows that I've enjoyed very much. Metamorphoses, I saw the original, it's by Mary Zimmerman, I saw the original in New York, and a group, I think, from St. Andrews University have had the adventure to hire themselves a swimming pool at the Sweets at Grass Market and to do a production of Ovid's Metamorphoses in and around the swimming pool. I think they just show an incredible imagination. Food is a fairly big show that I'm sure will travel, which is on at Travis, and I enjoyed very much. It looks at a MasterChef played extremely well by Sean Campion, who I guess might be on some nomination lists. And, Mark, you said there's no fun. I saw a show at about 11:15 in the morning at Pleasance called Crunch, and when I got in, my heart sank completely because there were a load of three-year-olds in there, and it turned out to be quite a subversive adult-type comedy about apples, which starts off with Adam and Eve, goes through William Tell, Aphrodite, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, all of whom are played by one man using his arms, knees and goodness knows what else. So I found all of those interesting and good fun. Quick voting on those then, Metamorphoses?
Yes,
yeah, that's
been
thumbs up.
Okay, we're all positive on that. Food?
Yeah, four
on that one. And has anyone else seen Crunch?
No.
Perhaps we'll ought to go and see it in that case. Thank you very much indeed. That's been great fun, and I think very informative, and hopefully we'll sell some tickets to people. Goodbye.